Gufa. Gufa. Sometimes the Gemara is a Gufa. The Shach Vatari, in the midst of a Shach Vatari, there was a Maramakim which was mentioned. And after the Gemara, I'll go back to focus independently on that angle. So, Ba'ofen Shal Gufa, we had left off before we put Shir on pause. Gemara was discussing Shitas Rava, who disagreed what's the motivation, what's the Tama Takana for the Din Drabban and the Mishnah, the Fani Nechta, Fani Nechta, maybe given the Dinas Hayam. The Shliach has to make this four word report. What's the motivation? What's the objective of that Din Drabbanan? So Rava had said that it's a question of Kiyam Ashtar, but Rava had said it's to clarify and to verify, to ascertain that this get was written properly, that it is a kosher get, specifically that it is Lishma. To which the Gemara had asked, on the middle of Beis Amud Beis, Ularaba Dam Lefishain Bikin Lishma Libaitre. If the goal, if the objective of this Takana Drabbana Fanech Fanechtam is to ascertain to Mavar that indeed this get was Lishma, so you should need to. Need to have you call Edish in the Torah. Why don't you need to? Do you remember the Gemara at first? We had spent time earlier. The Gemara's first answer, the first attempted answer, ultimately rejected. The Gemara wants to say, look, maybe this is an Erev Halach where one is enough. Edechanem Bisurin. The Gemara comes to the conclusion, no. Dabar Sheva Erva, Kenegan Chazaka, whatever it is, this is an area, it is not true that this is an area where one aid suffices. It is true in principle. There are many Shilas in Halacha for which one aid suffices. It certainly is true that Edechanem Bisurin, but this case falls outside of that purview. Here you need two Eidim. Tavar Sheva Erva, in Dar Shai Prophets Mishnayim, we discussed Eid Echad against Cheskas Isser in the world of Issevahetar. So the Gemara says, that's not going to work. This is not an Eid Echad type of din. This is part of the area, this is one of the areas of Halacha where you require two Eidim. You remember, the original din of Tavar Sheva Erva, and the Torah says twice in Chumash that you need two Eidim, by Misa and by Mamon, and the Chazal make Gzeir Shava Davar mi Mamon. Kimotza bar Erva's Davar. Now, if you should Edom Yakum Davar, just like Davar Shem Mamon requires to Edom, Davar Shem Erva requires to Edom. What's the concept of Davar Shem Erva? Get. It's the parasha of Get. Kimotza bar Erva's Davar. So to get Edus on Gerishin certainly requires to Edom. But we had a lot more to say about that. But a kitzer, that was Gemara's initial teretz, was the reason why one is sufficient is because Eid Echanan Bisurim, and that was roundly rejected. But then, we come to focus now on the second teretz, three lines from the bottom of Beis and Beis. Gar gives a teretz, has a kasha, and a teretz to that. Gar says, Rov Bikinen. The real answer is, the reason why you don't need to aid him is because most people, even Medina Sayyam, it's only a miut of B'nai Medina Sayyam or not Baki in Lishma. Again, we had discussed earlier, Machlok is Rashi and Tosfos, what exactly does Baki mean? Was it a question of knowledge or a question of dedication? But whichever it is, most people in Medina Sayyam are Bakim, they know the din of Lishma, they care about the din of Lishma, it's only a miut who don't. So the truth is the Gemara, if you're reading straight, the main line continues with the last line of the Gemara. Rabban Hu Datzra. How does Rov Bikin help? How does that solve the question of one aid versus two aidim? Because Rabban Hu Datzra. When I told you need no aidim, the whole concern is only Drabbanim. When I told you should learn the Rov, Ahachm Shemiguna Kil Rabbanim. Chazal are creating a din Drabbanim of requiring further birur over and above the rov. So, okay, normally they would have required two. After all, this is Davar Sheva Erva. And normally Chazal would say, one of the design principles of Din Drabanan is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Daraisa Tikkun. They usually when Chazal are crafting a Din Drabanan, they're crafting the Tzuras HaTakana. They're going to try to pattern it after parallel Dinam Daraisa. So usually, if you create a Din Drabanan of Eidos and Get, you just say, look, Eidos Daraisa and Get requires two. So usually, Eidos Rabbanan would also require two. But here, Yishume Guna Akilu Barabanan. Here there was a concern, if you're going to raise the standard so much, you say we want to have two Eidim, it's going to commonly happen that you won't be able to give a get at all. If you say that the husband always has to send two Shluchim, so what's going to happen if he's in Beijing and she's in Paris, and he can't find two Kasher Eidim who are traveling together? I found one Jew who's traveling. Okay, so that's why, since the whole thing is, the whole need for Nechad and Din Drabanan, so Chazal had the liberty to make the decision that in this case we can craft a Din Drabanan with one eight. But why is it only Drabanan? Why isn't it Mat Torah? After all, if a get is Shalol Shema, that get is not valid Min HaTorah. The concern is a real concern level of Daraisa. The rule should have been Safik Daraisa L'Humra. Why are we saying the Min HaTorah is okay? The answer is, this is not a mere Safik. We have a Rove. Rove the Kinyan. So because of a Rove, Rove is really good enough. But Min Drabanan, every once in a while, usually Rove works both Min HaTorah and Min Drabanan. Every once in a while, Chazal will have a new Takana. Min HaTorah is Mutar based on Rove, Min Drabanan, Rechoshesh. That's my works that way. And the Gemara argues here that according to Rabbah, B'Fayinecht V'Yinechtam works that way. Now, but we had skipped a line, which was a little bit of a footnote. The main line of the Gemara had been, Rove V'Kinein, to Min HaTorah, you don't need anything. The whole issue is Min Drabanan, Rabbanu, that's Rove. So Meshumi Guna Kili Barabanan, when they created the Din Drabanan, they only required one. There had been this intervening line, which had been Reb Meir. What's that with Reb Meir? Said, I feel the Reb Meir Dechayish Lemiuta. I'm telling you that Minatar, you need no one. Minatar, you need no Edim, because Minatar will line the Rove. And the Gemara says, there is a Tana Reb Meir who's not so embracing of Rove. He's concerned about the Miut. Ah, so that's a problem. You're telling me it's Mutar Min HaTorah because of Rove. How about a mayor who apparently doesn't believe in that? He's choshish for the Miut. But maybe. No, okay, it's very nice. 80% of the B'nai Medinas Hayam are Bikin. But what about the 20% who are not? 80-20. What about the 20%? The mayor's very worried about the 20. In other words, it sounds like he's not willing to accept Rove. So Gemara says, well, Stam Safri Dedaini Migmer Gemiri. But your standard so far hadayanim, he does definitely know the din of lishma. Says Rashi, stam safri de daini, four lines off the bottom of Rashi, sofer hadayanim, the sofer of the bate din shirigim lichtov kol shtari gittin. They're the ones who are writing all the gittin. You get a get from Beijing. It didn't come from a random fellow in Beijing. It came from the basin of Beijing. Specifically, it was written by the sofer who was hired by the Beizin in Beijing to write all their shtaris, including their gittin. So since we know that the shtar didn't just emerge from the pen or the quill of some random Jew in Beijing, but specifically the sofer hadayanim, safri didaini, they're definitely migmer gemiri. They definitely know to get isha by lishma. So that's why the concern, there's really no concern. I know there's written Lishma. That's why Rashi goes on to say, we had spent more time in this early year, the whole Dindra Chashash Rabbanan is, but maybe the sofer wrote it for Yosef and Shimon number one, and it was found by Yosef and Shimon number two. But we're convinced it was written Lishma. Because Stam Safri Dedaini, Migmer Gemir. So that's the Gemara. How come if Rabba says the concern is Lashma, maybe it's not Lashma, so what does it help to have one aid? Second Teretz of Gemara is, it helps to have one aid because Min HaTorah there's no question at all. Because Min HaTorah there's a Rove. And even according to Meir, who doesn't like Rove, but Safra Dedaini definitely make Merkmir. So that's, even Meir is comfortable with that. So Min HaTorah, everyone agrees. Meir and the Chachamim, Min HaTorah, there's no problem. The Drabanan, they want to make an additional Drabanan to be concerned about a very, very tiny chance. So therefore that, when they crafted it in Drabanan, they said one is enough. If you think of this Gemara, There are a couple of questions. I think we had left off before we paused here for a couple of weeks in the last semester. We had pointed out there are a couple of questions in the sugya we're going to have to come back to, and now we're coming back. So three questions. Number one, what does this mean? They already have a teretz. Just to chart this out a bit, right? There are big kasha. Right? We had Rabba and Rabba. We had on Rabba, we said, I understand me by trade. Okay. We had teretz number one, which we're not focused on right now, which is Eidach and now Yisurim. Then we had teretz number two, which we are focused on right now, which is the Daraisa in Sri Yisrael call. Why? Because I have a rove. Okay. I said, I, but Remeir, Remeir doesn't like rove. He's Chayish Lamidata. Right? So the answer was, well, question that was like the market. Mayor, he doesn't believe in Rove. Ah, don't worry, the answer is Stam, Safri Dedaini, Migmer Gemir. Period. So, number one, this question about Remeir. So, the first kasha we could ask is, what does that mean? Remeir doesn't believe in Rove? Really? Really? Reb Meir doesn't believe in Rove. Reb Meir doesn't believe in Rove. Is that true? I mean, you look at the Masoras HaShas, I feel Reb Meir L'chai Shul Miyuta, they send you all over Shas. Two places in Yevamis, Avodah Zarah, Becharos, Chulin, Nida. Apparently a very popular sheet of Reb Meir. Reb Meir, but it's a little hard to understand. What do you mean he doesn't hold a Rove? Really? The fact that 80%, 90% chances, he ignores that. In other words, just b'chal, like, how do you live? Everyone relies on rove. Like, you go through your day assuming you live, everyone lives with rove. Everyone operates because probably this is the case. And if you want to dig more, our kasha number one, or a mayor, is there's a Gemara in Chulin, which you saw. The Gemara in Chulin says that there is such a thing as rove. Let's take a look. We'll come back to this, but let's take a first, very, very brief look at the top of Chulin daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, the second line, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, this is coming on the heels of several blots. Those who learned Chulin daf Tes may remember. It's coming on the heels of several blots of different quick questions about various types of sfeikos in the world. The first two prakim of Chulin are about Shechita. The different sfeikos in the world of Shechita. I'm not 100% sure what happened, like this, like that. The Gemara mentions, we're talking this morning about the world of Taurus as sfeikos in general. So over the course of those cases, the Gemara makes repeated reference to Rove. Well, probably it's Mutter because probably X happened. It's Aser because probably Y happened. So after a couple of blot of this, the Gemara says, excuse me, second line in the Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, we know Hamilsa Damar Rabbana Zil Basaruba. Where does this come from? What's the mucker? The Amar Rabbana, the rabbis say, that's usually a terminology the Gemara will use, find a few places in Shas at least, the Gemara will use Amar Rabbana to introduce a general principle in Halacha that pops up elsewhere. Batal Kishishim is Amar Rabban, time of the Tikham Ke'ikr is Amar Rabban. Here's another major principle of halacha. Chachamim tell us all over Shas, Mishnayis, Brises, Gemaras, the Zil Basaruba, Leich, Acha Haro, follow the rove. So where does it come from? There are many, many Mishnayis and Brises that assume you follow a rove, but where does it come from? Vushtet. So the Gemara first thinks that that's an absurd question. I mean, no one! The third law in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Where does it come from? A pasuk in Chumash. Dichsiv, acharam lahatos. We're getting to it in 2 weeks from now, parshas Mishpatim. You follow the rove. It's as though, you know, if the Gemara would ask, well, how do you know that you had the mitzvah to bring Karban Pesach? How do you know? A pasuk in Chumash, parshas Bo. How do you know there's a mitzvah to eat matzah? Pasuk in Chumash. How do you know the mitzvah to wear tefillin? Pasuk in Chumash. That's what Gemara says. How do you know you follow a rove? What do you mean? A beferish a pasuk in chumash. It's not difficult. Everyone, the assumption is that was Mavra Sedra. Everyone knows their chumash. You remember mishpatim from last year. Next year, remember mishpatim from this year. But the Gemara says, "Mina lan." What do you mean? Achra mahatos. So then the Gemara says, "No, it's a little more nuanced than that. The different types of robe, Rubi the Isakam, Rubi the Isakam. We'll come back to that soon. We'll come back to the detail soon." And the Gemara goes on to say there are many other sources. Ironically, by the way, one of the cases. So this whole Gemara seems, you know, the Gemara is assuming there's something called Rove, and let's find the source in the Chumash for Rove. What about Remeir? I understand, but I thought Remeir doesn't believe in Rove. So how does Remeir fit in? And what's even stranger and more ironic is in warming up, the Gemara actually Rashi makes reference to Remeir. The Gemara is talking about different examples of Rove. One of the examples of Rove the Gemara has is Katan Uketana. What's Katan Uketana? Rashi fills you in that there's a Mishnah in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, I believe, and there's a Braisa 50 blot earlier on Samach Aleph that gives the Machlokas. The Mishnah says, take a look in Rashi, begin the narrow lines, Chul Yudafam, Alf, Katan, Uktana, Depligar, Bana, Legre Meir, there is a Machlokas, Hachamir, Meir, Yevamos, the Machlokas in Yevamos Samach Aleph. Because Yevamos Samach Aleph, the Gemara presents a Braisa with both Shiva. But there's a Mishnah, a Kuf Yud Aleph, that only has one. What's the Mishnah? What's the Mishnah? Say, Disnan. Yavam Katan Shabal Yevamah Katana. I have a Yavam Katan who has Bia with Yevamah Katana. Background. We spoke about a little bit Yivam earlier in the year. Let's just refresh our memories. Just look in the Chumash, tell us the Parsha Kiseitse, that if a married man passes away, leaving behind the wife and at least one brother, but no descendants. No descendants, not from this wife, not from any other woman. He has no living descendants, but he has a leave behind the wife, leave behind the brother. So then there's a din of Yibam. We explored this a little bit in the Ramban on Tamar. This is in Parshas Kiseitse and Maseches Yevamos, obviously. So there's a zika, there's a connection between the brother-in-law, the brother of the nifter, and the sister-in-law, the widow of the Nifta. They're not married to each other, but there is some connection. There's a Zika. And she is not allowed to marry out of the family unless she gets Chalitza. Ideally, the Psukim seem to say she should do Yibum. The two of them should marry each other. We saw the Ramban a couple weeks ago explain some of the Ruchni Kabbalistic background for the time of the Krah, what's being accomplished through Yibum. But Lamaisa the Torah says, ideally they should Yibam. Ideally the surviving brother should marry his sister-in-law. The Yavam should marry the Yavama. If they're not going to Yibam, then they have to go through the process of Chalitza, and that allows her, sort of the parallel to get, that allows her to then marry out of the family. But there's a Zika, there's a connection with Yavam and Yavama up until either Yibam or Chalitza. Yibam would consummate the Zika into full marriage, Chalitza would end the Zika, and she's totally single. Totally single and totally unattached. So now what's interesting about Yibam is this is something that normally would be a Isur Chamur is now not only mutter but a mitzvah. Normally, for a brother-in-law and sister-in-law to have relations with each other is a Isur Karis. That is Gilei Raya. That is Yehar Vayava. Even if the brother is no longer alive. The brother, Reuven Shimon, a brother Shimon had a wife, Mrs. Shimon. So either Shimon and Mrs. Shimon get divorced or Shimon passes away. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon are still an erva to one another. For them to be intimate together is absolutely gilras Isser Karasar Vayava the works. Except the Makam Mitzvah. If Shimon passed away and left behind no children, so then instead of this being an Isser Kares, this is A, Mutter, and B, a Mitzvah. So you're sort of like a knife's edge here. It's either a mitzvah, or it's an Isser Chamur. Okay, but if it's a mitzvah, then it's a mitzvah. So what's the issue? Lamaisa, Shimon passed away, left behind no children, so the mitzvah of Yibam, open and shut case. Not so fast. So here, take a look back in Rashi. He's quoting a mission at the very, very end of Masechta Yevamos. Yevamos is around 120 block. This is towards the end. Kuf Yud Aleph. Almost the end of the Masechta. Yavam Katan Sheba Yevam Ketana. Let's say it's not a 35-year-old brother and a 34-year-old widow. Let's say it's a 12-year-old brother and an 11-year-old widow. Ha Yitachin. So bear in mind, sounds a little strange, but bear in mind that for most of Jewish history, it was common to get married around the age of Bar Bat Mitzvah. So getting married at the age, a girl getting married at 12 was not strange at all. A boy getting married at 13 was not strange. One of you mentioned to me during the Morning Seder that you're named for your great-great-grandfather who got married his Bar Mitzvah. I think I mentioned to you, my 8th grade Rebbe told us that his grandfather, they celebrated the Bar Mitzvah and the Chasna together. Got married as remnants. That used to be a common thing in our society. It's the way we live in our culture, it seems bizarre. That used to be common. So imagine you had a 14-year-old boy who married an 11-year-old girl. Not strange at all in context. The 14-year-old husband passes away without children, leaving behind an 11-year-old widow and a 12-year-old brother. So the 12-year-old brother goes ahead and does Yibum with the 11-year-old widow. The Yavam Katan, Shebal Yivam Ketana. That's what the Rashi here, Chulun Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, again, according from a Mishnah, Yivamus Kuf Yud Aleph. Yavam Katan, Shebal Yivam Ketana, Yigdulu Zezah, Yigadlu Zezah, Zemzah, Yigdulu Zemzah. They should grow up together. We might not have advised them to jump the gun and do Yibum before Bar Bas Mitzvah. He would have told them to wait another couple months, perhaps. But if they went ahead and did Yibum, we would not tell them to separate. Don't they grow up together? And literally, you'll go through Godless. You'll celebrate your Bar Bas Mitzvah married. So what's the Chiddush? Okay, that's Yibum. What's the Chiddush? So the Mishnah says that. It's the second Mishnah of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the first couple. It's a long Mishnah, but it's the first couple lines. Say this thing. Let's say the boy is 12 and the girl is 14. Also, same thing. To God, they can remain married even before his bar mitzvah. What's the chiddush? So the Gemara explains, Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Samach Aleph, that it's not a question of advice and guidance. Our reaction is, it doesn't seem to me, that's probably not a wise decision to stay married at age 13. Okay, that's not where the guy, they was wise. And in their culture, to be married at 13. That was typical. Now, the problem is like this. As I said before, Yibum is a mitzvah which is also a matir. It's an exception to what would normally be an Isra Chamer. So if there's a mitzvah of Yibum, then the mitzvah of Yibum is matir, would otherwise be an Isra of Eishes Ach. The problem is, if he's already 14 and she's 13, so we know we're in the clear. But he's 12 and she's 11, it's really a suffix whether there's a mitzvah Yibum or not. Why is there a suffix? So Rashi goes on to quote, that's the discussion of Daf Samach Aleph. The vast majority of men go through normal, healthy puberty and development and grow up to be men who, at least physiologically, at least anatomically, are capable of fathering children. Some people suffer, and the same is true for women. There are men and women, a minority, who do, but not an insignificant minority, who do grapple with infertility. But that's not what we're talking about here. Sarus and Islandus is a situation where there isn't just some sort of hormonal imbalance, there's something almost anatomically different. They're not going to go through, when they hit Bar Bat Mitzvah, they're not going to go through normal puberty. They're not going to go through normal development. They're going to develop differently. It's a way that's anatomically that he's a male or she's a female, but they're not going to be anatomically incapable of having children. It's not something that's nikar until after Bar Bas Mitzvah. So there's a tiny percentage of the population of men who are srisim, there's a tiny percentage of population of women who are ailonios. By teenage years, it's already clear to the pediatrician that this boy happens to be an Asaris. This girl happens to be an Islandess. But when the boy is 12 and the girl is 11, you can't yet tell. It's a rarity, but it's not yet discernible until after Bar Bas Mitzvah, until after they develop, and then from the development, it's clear that it's on a different track. That he's on the Asaris track, she's on the Islandess track.
Why do I raise this? Because the Gemara in Masechet Yevam is darshan from Sukkim that there is no mitzvah of Yibum if he is a Saris or she is an Islandess. And since there's no mitzvah, if they were to go ahead and have Yibum, they'll go ahead and do Chalitza, it's just meaningless. They go ahead and do Yibum, that's an Isser Chamer. That's Eishas Ach Sholem Alke Mitzvah is Gilead Arayos. So normally Yibum happens with a man and a woman who are already over Bar Bas Mitzvah and are clearly not a Saris or an Islandess. The question is, this Mishnah could be all of the Torah case where it's not yet clear. He's 12, she's 11. Maybe he's a Saris. Maybe she's an Islandess. We don't yet know. We'll find out in the next couple of years. We can't yet tell. So the Mishnah in Yevamah's Kufiyot Aleph says, fine, Yavam Katan, Yevamah Kitana, they can remain married to each other. Aye, there's a chance that this is Yibam Shalbamak, this Eshelach Shalbamakam. There's a chance that maybe he'll turn out to be a Saris, maybe she'll turn out to be an Islandess, which means that he's already a Saris now, we just can't tell. She's already Islandess now, we just can't tell. And if either he's a Saris or she's an Islandess, this is not a mitzvah of Yibam, and therefore this is Gilad Arayos. So how do we let, so Rabbi Meir indeed says they cannot stay together. They have to separate until Bar Bas Mitzvah. And once we know they're not Saras or Islandess, then they can resume married life. But the Chachamim say no. Why are they not worried about Saras and Islandess? Because the vast majority of men are not Srisim. The vast majority of women are Ilonios. So you follow Rove. I don't know yet. He's 12. She's 11. We can't tell. Chachamim say follow Rove. And that is at the beginning of one of the most fundamental sugyas of Rov. The Gemara gives its first few examples of Rov. This is one of those examples. Katanu Katana. I presume that this as yet non-bar mitzvah boy, this as yet non-bar mitzvah girl, I can't tell is he a Saris or not. I cannot tell is she an Islandess or not. So the Chachamim say, follow Rov. So, but ironically, Rashi opens by saying, but Rav Meir disagrees, and indeed, look at Yevamah Samach Aleph, Rav Meir says, no, you got to be a kosher, we're relying on the rope, but maybe he's a Saris, but maybe she's an Islandess, we don't yet know, you got to be careful. Now, that's Rav Meir, that's our Rav Meir. Rav Meir and Yevamah, the Rashi and Chulin quotes Yevamah Samach Aleph, the same Rav Meir here, on getting that base and a base. As a matter of fact, look at Masaras Hashas here. The first Maramakim is Yevamah Samach Aleph from a base. And Kufi Tes Samach Aleph. There you go. But the question is, well, what do you mean? Well, he just ignores rope? But the Gemara said. The Gemara said, Acharam Lahatos. And the Gemara had other Maramakamos. The Gemara had other Makoros from Sukkim. From Ola, from Parah Aduma, from Eitz Hadam. The Gemara had a whole Sugya, Yolam from Nav, Yolam from a base, working on Rove. So problem number one is Bechlau, what does Rabbi Meir mean? Problem number two is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Apei, does explain a little bit. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Apei, also talks about Rabbi Meir. There too we will dig in more into that Gemara. But for starters, the Gemara has a line, well, Chachamim say that Mi'uta keman delesei dami. The Kiddushin Daf Pei also mentions the Machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. And the Gemara says, well, Rabbanan, Mi'uta keman delesei dami. The Mi'ut doesn't, it's as though the Mi'ut doesn't exist. And for Rabbi Meir, it's as though the Mi'ut does exist. Okay, so now we get some sort of svara. Our first kasha again was Rav Meir Chayish, the Miyut, Rav Meir is worried about the Miyut, and our question was, if he less like Rove? Well, he doesn't hold the din of Rove. It's hard to imagine. Now, you look at Kiddushin Daf Pei, and you hear that Rav Meir holds that the Miyut is Kamandi Isay. It exists.
Chachamol, Chaman Delisa. It's as though it doesn't exist.
So it's the beginning of a svara. You have to add, what do you mean? It's as though it does exist? As though it doesn't exist? I mean, if 80% of people like this, and 20% of people like that, what? Chachamol to ignore the facts and say, no, there's no 20%. The facts are what the facts are. Most people are not Sarisim, and some people are. Most people are not Elonious, and some people are. Most women have a 9-month pregnancy, but some women have a 7-month pregnancy. Most Dayanim said Potter, and some Dayanim said Chai. I mean, this is like, are we like revisionist history? Like we close our eyes and ignore the fact? I mean, Kamandi Leisei Dami. What does it even mean? And there's a third Kasha, but before going to third Kasha, I want to just take a break for a moment to teach you a word. Just a word that already came up twice, and it's just good to know. I'm sure I'm not the first person to mention that there are certain letters, and I teach you an Aramaic word, a pair of Aramaic words, you should just be comfortable. But it starts with a few letters. I still am not the first person to tell you there are certain letters in Hebrew that often show up as a corresponding letter in Aramaic. I hope that's familiar, right? Like, how do you say snow in Hebrew? Shalom. How do you say snow in Aramaic? Halga. Fantastic. How do you say three in Hebrew? Shalom. And three in Aramaic? Plus or plus. Fantastic. How do you say six in Hebrew? How do you say six in Aramaic? Shita. Not all shins become a top in Aramaic. Some shins become station in Aramaic. Some shins in Hebrew are station in Aramaic as well. For those who speak Arabic, it may have to do with a scene and a sheen. Okay, but we don't get into that right now. How do you say there is in Hebrew? How do you say there is in Aramaic? Yes. How do you say... Okay, here's a trick question. How do you say there isn't in Hebrew?
Ain.
How do you say there isn't there mid?
Less,
right. Because less is law plus is equals less. So, is yesh. Isay is yeshno. It is. Less is ain. And leisei is einenu, it isn't. You've already seen isei and leisei a few times, and if you don't know what it is, just sort of mysterious, like what does that even mean? Ruba de isei kaman means it is in front of us. Leisei kaman means it is not in front of us. Or miuta kaman de isei means it means as though it is. Miuta kaman de leisei is as though it isn't. Okay, so that's what the words mean. You gotta know the words before you can tackle the ideas. And now that we have the words, let's box it in. So kasha number one, coming back, is you look at the sugya, the Gemara said, oh, Rov Baki, what about Rav Meir? What's Rav Meir saying? I don't understand. Rav Meir doesn't believe in Rov. Again, it's Shal Kosop all the Shas. As a matter of fact, even in the beginning of the the sugya of the Makar of Rov, Rashi mentions Rav Meir. But what does that mean? What does he do with that whole Gemara? The whole Gemara, he rejects, he doesn't believe in Acharei Malatos? It's possible in Chumash. How about all the other psukim of Chumash the Gemara quotes? What's Shat Rav Meir? And then, kasha number two is, the Gemara begins to give some svaras, but we're not sure what those svaras mean. If Mia doesn't exist, if Mia does exist, this gets worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And then, if our first two kashas were looking at this, about Rav Meir, let's also think about the Gemara's answer. What was the Gemara's answer? Rav Meir doesn't hold a robe. We want to say that Min HaTorah, I'm not worried about Lushma because of robe. Rav Meir doesn't hold a robe. What was the Gemara's answer?
There's a robe.
Most scribes know. So what do we call that? A robe. So, yeah, what do you do with Rav Meir? Robe Bikinin. I, Rav Meir, doesn't like robe. The answer is I have another robe. Why is the second robe any better? Why is the second robe any better than than the first rule. So for that already, we have someone who addresses that question. Who addresses that question of how does the answer, in other words, kasha number three is, as we say, how's the answer the question? Right? Why is Stam Safri better than Rove Bikin? I understand. It's another Rove. You have one Rove, or maybe doesn't like, we have another Rove. Why is the second Rove better than the first Rove? Who asks that question? Tosis. What does Tosis say?
Stronger Rove.
So stronger Rove. So fantastic. Shkayach Rami. V'havi kemo mi'uta di mi'uta. D'lo chashila filer me. Ah, this is a super Rove. It only has a mi'ut of a mi'ut. And even Meir isn't worried about that. A miut of a miut. What does that mean? A miut of a miut. Ah, it's a miut, it's no good. It's a miut of a miut. Yeah, very small. I don't understand. Remei doesn't hold a rove. Remei doesn't hold a rove. Now, we're not even sure what it means. So again, three kashas. The Gemara is focused on Remei. So a rove, but Remei. So we're not sure what it means. Remei doesn't hold a rove. How could anyone not hold a rove? And I, the Gemara, and Kiddush starts saying, well, it's the machlokes is whether the miut exists or not. Well, yeah, of course the miut exists. So the solution there doesn't seem to really solve much. And then the solution here, kasha number three, doesn't seem to necessarily solve much either. Well, this is a better rope. If you hold the rope, you hold the rope. You don't hold the rope, you don't hold the rope. What does better even mean? What does stronger even mean? So we have the idea sort of in a fuzzy way, and we'd like to sharpen it. We'd like to understand what the machlokas or manchum is. What does it mean that Remeir doesn't hold a rove? What does it mean, number two, that Remeir thinks that the Mir exists, and the Chum thinks the Mir doesn't exist? And number three, what does it mean that even Remeir holds a rove, he just holds a certain rove and not other roves, because some roves are good and some roves are not good? How do you differentiate, how do you discriminate what is going on? So to understand all this, as I mentioned this morning, to make sense of what's going on in our sugya, so we need to expand our ideas in Taurus HaSvekas. We need to expand our ideas in Taurus HaSvekas in Rov, and expand our ideas in Taurus HaSvekas in Chazaka. So let's go back, in the minutes that remain, let's begin by looking a little more at Rov. Let's get a little more comfortable with Rov. We had skipped around the beginning of Chul and Dafi Alef Amun Alef. We skipped a key nakuda that we have, a very, very central chiluk that the Gemara makes in a couple places in Shas, and we come across it here, Chul and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Let's take a look again, and either today or tomorrow, we'll turn our attention to Chul and Daf Yud, which is the mukkar for Chazaka Dimei Kara, and then from there, we're going to begin to look at case of Chazaka and begin to find some fascinating patterns. Let's take a look. Minah Mils Amar Abani. Let's see this Gemara properly. Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The top of where do Chazal this principle from? Where does Chazal this principle? What's the source? That is Linan Basaruba. The Gemara says, well, I mean, Minalan, the Sirakaram Hatta. So, what type of question is that? A Pasuk in the Chumash. The Gemara answers, you didn't understand. Ruba, of course, is a Pasuk Akaram Hatta. The Akaram Hatta, the Gemara says, only applies to certain types of rope. The Gemara says there are two different types of rove. What are the two types of rove? A rove that's in front of us. Now you know the word Issa means. Ruba de Issa, Kaman. Kaman is in front of us, Lefanenu. Rove sheyeshna Lefanenu. And a rove sheeno Lefanenu. A rove that's in front of me, a rove that's not in front of me. What do those terms mean? So the clues are, the Gemara gives examples. We already saw some of those examples. The Gemara says that Ruba de Leisa Kaman, a rove that's not in front of me, what's your classic example? Is Katanu Katana. That we already spoke about. This discussion about Yavam Katan, Yavam Katana. That rove 12-year-old boys are not Srisim, even though I can't tell yet. That rove 11-year-old girls are not Ilonios, even though I cannot directly tell yet. That's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman. A rove that's not in front of me. And what's a rove that is in front of me? What's a Ruba de Isa Kaman? We're going to give two examples. Kegon, Teisha Chanuyos, V'Sanhedrin. What's the case of Teisha Chanuyos? That's a famous discussion the Gemara has in Maseches, elsewhere Maseches Chulin. Rashi fills you in. The nine stores, Teisha Chanuyos, Kulin Mokros B'Sar Shchuta. I have a city with 10 butcher shops. nine of them sell kosher meat. Achas mocheres the sar nevela, and one butcher shop sells treifa meat. Nevela means it never proper shechita. So this is an overwhelmingly firm town. 9 out of 10 butcher shops are on Jashkafa, and the 10th butcher shop is for the non-kosher market. The non-Jew shop for the other butcher shop. But 9 out of 10 stores, 90% of the butcher shops in town sell kosher meat. So what, and therefore, okay, so if you want to keep kosher, go to one of the non-kosher butcher shops. What's the issue? No, the issue is, the nimsa vaser ba'aretz. You find a piece of meat on the street, and it's out of the package, and I don't know what the story is. Is this from one of the kosher butcher shops? Is this from the treifa butcher shop? So Rashi quotes that the Brisa says, halacha achar rov. That's the din of the teisha hanus. You follow rov. The hakaman chazina in front of us, we see the ruba de teira, that most of the stores are mutter. So that's an example of ruba de isa kaman and teisha hanus. The 9 butcher shops versus the 1 treifa one. And Sanhedrin. What do you mean by Sanhedrin? So Rashi says, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you have a dispute among the members of a Beis Din, what the din should be, you follow the road. This non, you Beis Mazakin, you Alf Mechayiv, and Zakai. I have a Beis Din of 23. They're here in the capital case, the Din of Fashas case. 12 of them say that the fellow is not Chayiv Misa. 11 of them say the fellow is Chayiv Misa. Zakai. The din is you follow the road. The road say Zakai, so the din is Zakai. So the Gemara says, look, there are 2 types of rov. There's a ruba, the isa kama, and a ruba, the leisa kama. So what do these things mean? The rov that is in front of me versus the rov that's not in front of me. A rov that is in front of me versus a rov that's not in front of me. A rov that is in front of me versus not in front of me. Yeah?
A rov where you know the facts, and you're assuming something about the product of the facts versus something where
Okay. Well, I know some facts. So you're telling me, do I know I know the facts, or I don't know the facts? I would push back because I never know all the facts, otherwise I don't need a rove. And I always know some facts. I mean, I do know that any pediatrician will tell you, or any urologist will tell you, any OBGYN will tell you, that the vast majority of people are not, the vast majority of men are not tzitzim, the vast majority of women are not ilonios. Yeah, what do you say?
A rove that's not in front of you is something that maybe can be predicted. It's not like the set in stone. Like, we know that 9 out of 10 butcher shops are kosher. Like, that's a fact. We have to predict that they'll be in the future.
Okay. Prediction. Although prediction also, you're both onto some. Prediction also, meaning you're right that by the rude leisakam, the katana, I'm predicting he'll probably won't be a saris. But you're also, I'm saying, probably this meat, is kosher.
Background information.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Isaac Mine, like, we can see the numbers, like, if the store is on Hedron, and Isaac Mine, there's no number, it's just, like, you can't see, you don't know how many people are sorry.
Numbers, although you're onto something. I see the numbers, I don't see the numbers. You're onto something. Now, I could have numbers for Rubud Leisa Kaman also. I could ask statisticians, and they could probably tell me, give me a number, what percentage of the population is the Saras Islands. But you're supposed to talk about seeing the numbers. Yeah? I don't know.
Where there's like a definitive
That's an interesting point, although that's probably not Rud Leisa Kaman. That is an interesting point that by the Saras Islanders, we'll ultimately get the real answer. But if anything, that would make it more solid, not less solid, ironically. Yeah?
Maybe it's not just that I can see or know the numbers, but that the stuff is right in front of me. When you have like a Sanhedrin, you see like 5 people right in front of you raising their hands and 4 people not raising their hands. When you have 9, 10 stores in front of you, you see 9 of them are kosher and 1 of them is not. But when you have like statistics and stuff, see them with your own eyes, you might be able to ask a physician, well, how many people are sorry, Susan, how many people are Israeli? But like, you're not going to be able to know, like, right in front for yourself, before your eyes, like, 10 of these people are Sadi Sam and 10 of them are not.
Yeah, so you're talking about facts and prediction and the numbers and seeing the numbers. And I think not to wrap it all together, let me just rephrase it and we can discuss this more tomorrow. But Ruba de Issa Kaman, perhaps the simplest way to formulate what all of you have been saying, is Ruba de Issa Kaman is a closed set. Now, it's a rove. I have all the data here. There are 10 stores. I can count them. I know every single store, and I know in every single store what its status is. It's just a question of, now I have a piece of meat, and which is a derivative of that set. I have to figure out what's the status of the piece of meat. So the rove itself is a rove of chanuyos, and that's a closed set, fully defined right in front of me. So you're talking about seeing the numbers. As opposed to Lesa Kaman is an open set. We can have numbers. I can study in the year 2022 how many males turned out to be Srisim, how many females turned out to be Alonios. But I don't have numbers for everyone. It's an open set. It's a statistical prediction. I can make statistical statements about people in general like this, animals in general like this, cars in general like this, whatever your rove is about, whether about people or items, but it's an open set. It's not Sanhedrin or Chanuyos, where the full set of all the things, rove and miyad, are here and well defined. Which is why the Gemara said that it's more obvious you follow with Issa Kaman than you follow with Leisa Kaman. I have a pasuk with Issa Kaman. Yeah! Because a well-defined closed set, everything is here. But to say that, can you even follow statistics? Mehecha Tesi, who says just because the pasuk says by Beis Din, Acharam Lahatos, I follow with Issa Kaman, who says therefore I can even follow a statistical open set rule? Not so posh. The Gemara says it does work, but we're going to have to find some other makor and chumash for it. We'll pick up with that, and it's a Shem tomorrow.